into this workshop, and I appreciate this, the people which comes from the many diverse fields, and I enjoyed a lot of this interaction or the collisions or such things here. So this is somehow work I did recently. I'm working in Innsbruck in the group of the Hans Brugger, and this is particularly collaboration with Gavin Brenner, this guy, and now he moved to the Macquarie University at Australia. Yes, so the topic I like to talk is actually very simple, and if the organizers are not offended, my title can be like the measurement-based computation without opening a phrase. But because my formal title is a bit superb, maybe the idea is very simple. So I have just one slide for introduction. So the idea is we have precious resource, and this is in this case the here sweet sweet ice. But of course we like to enjoy it, and we like to enjoy in a long time. But there's some piece of paper on top of it, and since this may be written in Japanese, I have some translation. It says that it tastes best as far as we don't open the fridge and do not touch it. Yes. This is very classic dilemma for us, yes. So what I found is there. I have some quantum resolution for this classic dilemma. Let us bit more sober now, okay? So I like to somehow get two appealing ideas for reliable quantum computer. One idea is it would be very good if information is stored and processed in the ground state of a Hamiltonian. Physicists feel much comfortable if information is stable. And this idea is basically taken in topological quantum computation, also in adiabatic quantum computation. Also, I'm quite fond of another skill of the quantum computation, namely the computation on entanglement resource by measurement. And in particular, the Robert Lassendorf and Hans Brugger invented the so-called cluster state computation. And I have to somehow recall you that, recall something that usually if we are talking about measurement-based computation, we somehow implicitly assume Hamiltonian is zero during computation. So we have some state we call the resource state, and somehow the performance of computation is solely determined by the resource you have initially and the way of measurement you do. So basically, the Hamiltonian doesn't play any role in this measurement-based computation. So the thing I like to do is, okay, I like to take both, but of course, you know, as is always the case for the marriage, there might be some issues, or the people like to argue about and be concerned with marriage. Okay, obviously the measurements generally create expectations, so that keeping information in the ground state at the same time processing information by measurement are seemingly incompatible. Right. So that is why somehow today I talk about how we can somehow overcome this seemingly dilemma. And this is somehow my scheme. So before I'm going to my scheme directly, I have the time today. So I like to give a bit more careful motivation. And I like to list what kind of the problem we may face, and how we can overcome such potential problem to marry to key ideas for reliable quantum computation. Okay, so let me start from the possible fundamental issue. So if we somehow observe a one-one quantum computation, was also the other scheme, like just the answer I just talked last week. Yesterday. Basically, in order to implement the measurement-based computation, we need direction in measurement, namely somehow the corresponding to the SU to say freedom in single qubit rotation. We need somehow continuous parameter in measurement direction. And even if you are somehow happy with some approximate universality, still the, you may need the more than one measurement direction to achieve approximate universality. And if we somehow take this thing into account, it seems that the if the Hamiltonian is always on, and if you dare to measure it, then you will create entanglement, because there wouldn't any somehow the Hamiltonian which commute with such measurement or with arbitrary direction or with even the, some fixed number of direction. Okay, so that is why we have to turn off interaction with spin to be measured. I think this is almost first step we have to take. But wait a moment. Because usually if I consider two body interaction, and usually somehow the two summoned in Hamiltonian are not commuting. So if I somehow try to somehow slowly turn off one term, then of course it also creates excitation. So in order to switch off slowly one term, then we need some nice property in Hamiltonian. And this is somehow the key property I address later. This is so-called frustration-free. And I explain later, but the idea is somehow the full global ground state also minimizes every time in Hamiltonian. Okay, second. So the, of course, the not only the entanglement resource must be ground state, but also the, we like to somehow implement the quantum computation in the ground state. Namely, the information must be processed in the ground state. It means that the, we need degeneracy in the ground state. Otherwise, we are going out from the ground state. So in particular, the we need a twofold energetic degeneracy per logical qubit. So we have to find how to get proper degeneracy in Hamiltonian. Okay, next. Of course, the reason we like to encode information into the ground state is we expect some stability. And of course, in order to do that, ground state must be gapped. And the, it is much nicer if this gap passes in the thermodynamic limit, meaning if gap is constant, independent of system size, then it's much better for scalability. And this is somehow reason later we take the spin one chain instead of the spin half chain to implement standard qubit circuit computation. Fourth. Okay, now the I have somehow gapped structure, but the basically somehow information is protected by Boltzmann wave, but nevertheless there's some tiny chance single excitation happens there. So the, it's desired if the single excitation shouldn't immediately cause logical error, then we may have some chance to correct it. So the, that is why I somehow take some ground state which has non-local order. And this non-local string order connects the logical subsets. Does anybody have a question or is this fine? Okay. We may have more issues. So the practically, we know that if I can use k-local interaction freely, we may have great ideas from, in particular, from quantum information science side. But in reality, the in order to somehow implement k-local interaction, we have to somehow take perturbation over the so-called gadget construction. And that is why somehow k-local interaction is not fully reliable. In the sense, basically the strength of k-local interaction would be much smaller. And also in order to engineer it, we need some complicated engineering. And also the, because the this k-local interaction is approximation, we have just approximated target state in our resource state. That is why always we suffer from some leakage in fidelity over there. Also, we have some higher order correction to our theory. So it would be much convenient if we can work on two-body interaction and if interaction is nearest neighbor. Okay, so I listed many key properties. And the, to my knowledge, there is no known ground state which is universal for standard one-way quantum computation and satisfies all requirements above. This is also the connect of the open question yesterday Jens mentioned. So the, here I take hybrid approach in the sense I use additionally on-demand dynamical coupling when I have to implement logical two-qubit measurement. And in practice, this is still convenient and can be easily implemented. So I think this is potential solution for that. And I have the Hue note here. So the, our idea must be distinguished from other ideas to have some robustness. And the, of course, the, if I say I consider the standard one-way computation, we can somehow consider this qubit itself is somehow encoded one into some decoherence-free subspace or such thing. And the, this is somehow the add-on idea to somehow make one-way computation more robust. And the, our idea is different in the sense that we have somehow the robust, I mean, robustness is already somehow built in the scheme. And in principle, also the, I can further take such ideas to encode, say, my spin one particle into the coherence-free subspace. But maybe somehow cause additional complications, so that I may not want, but in principle, this is an independent idea. And second, also, of course, I mean, I have some built-in robustness against nodes, and this somehow significantly reduces the effective logical single qubit error. And this is quite helpful in then to apply finally error correction code on the software level to get to the whole tolerance in then. But I don't talk about today about how to get to the whole tolerance in my scheme. And the, I mentioned previous related work. So the one idea is the, of course, people consider the, it would be nice if the universal resource state for one-way computation is prepared in planned state. And if we want the cluster state in the graph state, then we need four or the five local Hamiltonian. And this can be somehow obtained by perturbation method. And the, in the first paper by Bartlett and Rudolph, they somehow constructed how to get cluster Hamiltonian approximately from two-body nearest neighboring interaction in 2D technique. And second, also there is kind of no-go theorem in the sense that if we like to work on graph state, then there is no chance to have graph state being an exact unique ground state of two-body spin half interaction. And this was shown by Nielsen and the carefully proven by the Martin van der Nes and his colleagues here. Oh, second, and also recently people consider the other kind of resources for measurement-based computation. And the first one is the Perestrelati and Slack considers the balanced bond solid picture to understand cluster state computation. And also there are as was the yesterday's talk by Jens Isaac, David Gross and Jens and their colleagues considered the matrix for the state. I'm going to explain it more detail later, or the some two-dimensional analog of matrix for the state. Tensor product state was a finitely correlated state to use to implement measurement-based computation with very convenient graphical representation. And what we've achieved is basically we found how to implement measurement-based computation while keeping and processing information in a ground state motivated by these previous works. Okay, so now I'm going to the main part. So this is a big picture of my ground code measurement-based computation. So this looks quite similar with the one-way quantum computation, but initially we prepare n parallel spin-1 chain along every row, and they would be coupled dynamically on demand, and I have to somehow ask you to remember always I label these things from right to left. And also the computation is basically carried from right to left in this picture, because then we have somehow direct somehow correspondence in bra and ket notation, which would be convenient. So the idea is quite similar with standard model of one-way computation. Basically, every time we like to implement some single qubit rotation or two qubit gate operation, basically we measure single size. Then information is teleported to the left side. And the important point is the time evolution of logical information is encoded in the gap to hold ground subspace of the residual chain. So always the information is stored here, and if the somehow time this thing is measured, then we switch off interaction and measure it. Then somehow the information is somehow teleported to the left ground state. Maybe I have to start from the reason why I take spin-1 chain instead of the spin-half chain. This is connected with fundamental physics, with the fundamental somehow theorem in the condensed matter physics. Namely, it was proven by Lipschultz, Matisse, and Haldane that they consider one-dimensional translational invariant quantum system of anti-Fermionic Heisenberg interaction in nearest neighboring coupling. And for the half-integer spin case, it was shown ground state is gapless. On the other hand, if the spin is integer, namely spin 1 or 2 and so on, then the ground state is gapped. So there is some fundamental difference. Either we have half-integer spin or integer spin. And of course, we want gapped ground subspace. That is why I like to take integer spin. And for convenience, we take the spin-1 particle. And the Hamiltonian may look like this one, basically two-body interaction and also the nearest neighboring coupling. And this is the basically phase diagram of this Hamiltonian here. So if we have some, basically we have just one parameter essentially. And depending on this parameter, this Hamiltonian has reached phase diagram. And there is interesting phase called Haldane phase. It contains anti-Fermionic Heisenberg point, which is exactly here. And the beta is zero. Or also the AKLT point, which I will somehow take soon later. And also in the morning, Scott both mentioned this Hamiltonian is interesting. Also the on-the-graph structure. So this phase has very remarkable properties. One is gap passes in the thermodynamic limit. Namely, the gap is constant, independent of system size. Also, there is some degeneracy by the so-called edge states. And this phase has also non-local hidden order parameters. So it has nice property, which I want. OK, let me precise. So I consider the following Hamiltonian, so-called AKLT Hamiltonian. This is basically the same as the previous one with some particular weight. And the reason these weights are nice in analysis is then we have essentially projectors in every term. And basically, I have spin one chain in the bulk part, and the on two ends I have spin half, and they are somehow coupled according to this kind of interaction. So this is a spin one chain in the halogen phase, and as I said, this is two body and nearest neighboring interaction. And it is known that this Hamiltonian is frustration free in the sense total ground state minimizes the energy of every summer land. And the one thing I have to somehow draw your attention is the I have boundary condition by putting two spin halves in the end. Then I essentially somehow the so the idea is the this is projector. So this is some basically the ground state doesn't have weight on this spin two representation. So that is why basically we have some condition on every bond. And after that, the ground state is a global singlet and it is unique. This one. So as I said, basically this here. And note that if I have open boundary, namely if I don't have the two spin halves in two ends, then I have four-fold degeneracy in this ground state. And also this ground state is known to be interesting in the sense, say, localizable entanglement can be maximum in arbitrary distance, but I don't explain for this. And this ground state has very convenient so-called matrix product state representation. And I have a bit original notation for that. And but basically this is same as the standard notation. So this part corresponds to the coefficient of the basis vector. And basically I have the spin one particle in the middle. So basically I have three orthogonal basis vectors, 1, 2, 3. And they can be written in terms of the SZ eigenvectors, but in my talk, I just use 1, 2, 3 here. And this part corresponds to weight. And basically this M corresponds to this combination here. And if you prefer the more common notation, then you can consider this part is just matrix depending on this index. So the M of 1 is X and M of 2 is the minus IY and M of 3 is 0. The reason I take this notation is it would be convenient to see the effect of the local measurement in this notation. So basically, as I said, I take this ground state as a initial entanglement resource along every row. So I prepare decoupled such the ground state initially. And the first question is, can we prepare such resource state efficiently? And the answer is yes. And I introduced two methods, how to prepare unique ground state of AKLT Hamiltonian. And this is known in literature. One is the so-called sequential unitary gate preparation. And this is always available for all matrix product state. So briefly, I have the additional auxiliary system here. And basically the idea is weaving of particles. So basically this is somehow algorithmic preparation. And we can see that the circuit depth is proportional to the chain length. Because generally, two unitaries do not commute. So basically, we have some time ordering to get matrix product. And this is quite in analogy with dynamical cluster set preparation by control phase gate. But in the case of cluster set, because all control phase gates are commuting each other, such depth is known to be constant. So to get the matrix first set, we have to take more time, but still it's efficient linear in systems. So the second method can be adiabatic preparation. And this is in particular available in the proposal to implement in optical lattice. And the idea is that we start from nail state, or just you can imagine this is classical anti-parallel spin by magnetic field. And we progressively decrease magnetic field, and we increase the interaction term. Then it is known that we can somehow get ground state in constant time with very good fidelity. And this comes from the fact that the gap is constant. OK, so let me move to the somehow part, how we can somehow implement computation by local measurement. So this is the somehow the how we can somehow carry on computational process by measurement. So the first, as I said, if we have to measure a thing, then we have to turn off interaction too. And I will explain later how we can somehow get this nice property to such that they say we can keep the information in the ground state. And basically I firstly explain how we can implement logical single qubit operation and also the logical two qubit operation by single spin measurement. So the initialization of the quantum wire is basically first step we have to do. So we have the initially unique ground state of the AKLT Hamiltonian, and we turning off the interaction between number zero spin and the rest. And they are measuring the standard basis. Then we can see that after that, because I have the one closed boundary here, but now the another boundary is open, I have twofold degeneracy. And basically after that I have this state. And if my outcome on the number zero spin is down, it corresponds to I somehow initialize my quantum wire in the zero state due to the singlet configuration here. On the other hand, if I have the up outcome there, it corresponds to the initialization in zero state. And this can be seen as we somehow initialize into zero, but we have additional byproduct operator X from the beginning. And the important point is this state, depending on two outcomes, span the twofold ground subspace of the residual Hamiltonian. Okay, so now I explain how we can implement single qubit gate operation. And the idea is basically we take the Euler-Angus construction. Basically, if we can rotate along Z and X, then we can implement arbitrary single qubit rotation. And this is the rotation along Z, and this is rotation along X. And this process is quite somehow similar with one-way computation. So this is somehow our somehow. This is the case if we somehow initialize the quantum wire into zero. And what we like to see is if we measure in certain basis, here I just wrote as gamma j with some angle theta, then basically I pick up alpha sub j from here. And because that is why then relevant term to the alpha sub j is this matrix. And the idea is now we have identity in the middle. So basically this somehow is intermediate among the measurement basis and the matrix I got. So if I somehow change my measurement direction, according to that, I have somehow mixing in matrix. And if we carefully select the measurement direction, we have basically unitary operation. depending on this system. And this is exactly what we are doing in one-way computation. And the always we have a target rotation, but we have also some byproduct operator. And in our case, we will see that the byproduct operators are Pauli operators. That is why in the same manner as the one-way computation, we can somehow put byproduct operator out, or the, we can propagate byproduct operator to the future if we adapt measurement angle theta into minus theta when this byproduct operator is not commuting with the next rotation. Sure.
You said that in these wires you have this transient degeneracy due to edge states. So how manifold is that degeneracy?
So initially it is unique with two in-house, okay?
Yeah.
And I measure one, and I have two voltages.
And okay, now my question is, if you measure successively, does that keep you in the ground state manifold?
Yes, this is
not surprising.
I'm going to show you. So the what is somehow the operator. So basically, yes, I'm going to show it explicitly. So the basically, I have the string operator which connects the logical subs. Okay, maybe I will come. Is there any question? Yes, it must be suppressed. Okay, so yes. So this is somehow the more explicit explanation. So if we like to measure, if we like to implement the rotation along Z, basically we measure in this orthogonal basis. And this looks a bit complicated, but this is essentially the same as continuous one-parameter rotation along some plane. Say in one-way computation, we have some continuous measurement direction along XY plane. So this is some similar to that. And but there is new future we have to see carefully. So the basically I measure in this three orthogonal basis vectors. And the if outcome is the first one, then I implement this rotation of Z and I have byproduct X. And this case I have also the implement rotation and I have the different byproduct. X, Z. But if the outcome is the third, this is a new feature. I cannot implement rotation. And I have just byproduct operator. And the in the same way, if I like to implement rotation along X, then I measure in different bases. And basically, the similar thing happens. Namely, the I can implement rotation if the outcome is either one, either first one or the second one. But if the outcome is third, I have just byproduct operator. So in this case, if I try once, then get successful provides its two thirds. And if I like to implement a logical 2-qubit control phase gate operation, as I said, I need the additional pulse. Namely, I need the additional dynamic coupling between two chains on the A sub J side and the B sub J side. In time pi. Basically, this is generalized control phase gate in spin one particle. And followed it, and after that, I measure in the standard base, namely bases in 1, 2, 3. And this is the result. If we have this four outcomes, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 2, then I can implement control phase gate with additional byproduct operator. But if the one of local outcome is in 3, there are 5 possibilities here. Then basically I have just byproduct operator. I just wrote in this way, but basically this is some combination of the Pauli operator in product. So in this case, the success probability of the gate is the 2/3 squared, namely the 4/9. But the, I have to somehow mention that somehow the gate failure is some heralded, because from the outcome we can see whether the gate was successfully applied or not. And actually, every time what we got is just the byproduct operator. That is harmless if we somehow propagate, and if we adapt the following measurement outcome. So that is why in my scheme, I consider such failure gate as identity or teleportation up to byproduct operator. Maybe this is easier to see. So basically every time we have some Pauli byproduct operators, but as far as we somehow adapt following measurement directions, we can just propagate all byproduct operator into the end of the computation. So it can be seen as logical identity. That is why I said the gate is implemented in probability 2/3, and otherwise I have identity. Okay. This is also true here. Okay, so basically I explained how to implement the logical unitary part. And in the end, if we implemented all somehow such the unitary gate, basically we can just teleport the information into the end deterministically, because as I said, if we measure in the standard basis, 1, 2, 3, then I have some byproduct operator, but this teleportation itself is deterministic. And after that, basically we can store information here deterministically. And if we like, we can somehow read it out deterministically by the measurement in also the standard base, because this is now spin half. So somehow information is finally somehow materialized in the end spin half part. Okay. So now I'm going to somehow show how logical information is processed in the twofold degenerate ground subspace of the least zero Hamiltonian. This is a question by Robert, right? And the first point was already somehow addressed in the sense somehow this ground set has constant gap, and this is very helpful to suppress logical single-qubit error. And actually, this constant gap is also helpful when we somehow turning off interaction step by step, because due to this, this is the time needed to turn off interaction is determined by the gap, and because this gap is constant, actually we need constant time to switch off every summarant. Okay, so let me start by sorting order. So I consider the residual Hamiltonian at time step j, meaning I'm going to measure spin j. So now the j is still here, right? And the observation is this Hamiltonian has so-called string order parameter, this one. And this operator, this is multi-local operator, commute with current Hamiltonian, but they anti-commute in the other, right? That is why the pair of sigma x and sigma z form the representation of SU2 algebra in the ground subspace. So in the sense you can see every time I have this two-fold degenerate subspace, which are only coupled by this operator. And this is kind of the encoding, and the step by step my somehow encoding is getting shorter, but always somehow the information is kept in the ground subspace of the remaining Hamiltonian. So this is somehow the answer to your question. And that is why, because this operator is quite much local, so the environment induced unitary logical error is very unlikely. Is this answer to your question? Robert? Oh, yeah.
The Hamiltonian over time, you have it sort of when you start measuring, you keep it restricted to the rest of the chain. So wherever you measure, you switch it off.
Right.
So the
okay, now I explain the role of frustration-free interaction. So I have, as I said, I have to somehow step by step, step of one command in the Hamiltonian. And this is the process. I'm going to measure spin J particle. And initially I have here, and I like to drop this term. And obviously this term and the rest term don't commute each other, but the important point is they do commute in the ground state, subspace, because this Hamiltonian is frustration free. Namely, the total ground state minimizes every summer. So we can somehow safely switch off this term without introducing any excitation to the rest. Also, in practice, it would be much easier if this interaction is actually two-body. Well, in our case, this is actually two-body nearest neighboring type. Otherwise, we may have some bit trouble to somehow turn off some around, but this is a bit practical issue. So the, in short, the essence is turning off one Samaran does not create any excitation to the rest. And they also the constant gap provides us robustness, even when we have some unwanted perturbation during the switching off interaction. Okay, now I'm going to show why information is always teleported to the ground subspace of the residual Hamiltonian. So this is the new Hamiltonian. I already switch off interaction between J and J plus one, and I measure. So the state after that looks like this one. And the observation is, well, the observation is due to the singlet. We can somehow basically consider this part is actually act on the delta part mathematically here. We can somehow move to the another part here. So the then, so I just the this basically this V is byproduct operator and all accumulation of rotation we implemented here. So basically this is the state we have, and the proof is this state is actually the same as the following situation. Namely, we start with a unique ground state, this thing, and the, we have additional bond to the number zero spin. So the, we have additional projector between zero and J plus one. And as is often the case, we just switch off here and we measure. But this case, it corresponds to the measuring this number zero spin in rotated spaces, this space. And so this is exactly somehow state we have here. And that is why we can conclude that this state is in the ground subspace of the residual Hamiltonian, because this state is basically this home. And I explained basically these two vectors span the two-hole degenerate ground subspace. So basically this corresponds to the we measure in rotated basis and outcome of this guy. And then somehow this state can be seen as a somehow this state, namely this state stays in the ground subspace of the rest chain. And we can take similar argument after we implement the control phase gate by dynamical coupling, but there I skip this. So this is a short summary of the ground code property. Basically, essence is logical information is processed in the two-fold digital ground subspace of the residual Hamiltonian along every chain. And I briefly explain some new features as measurement-based computation. So the logical times are now correlated, originated from physical spatial correlation in the ground state, because all matrix states are known known to have, say, exponential decaying two-point correlation function. So the, as I said, in our model, the non-trivial, non-power logical gates are probabilistic. On the other hand, the logical identity is deterministic. That is why we have some fluctuation in logical depths. And this is quite in good contrast with the other models. And if I consider the cluster state model, the all gates are deterministic if we somehow take the adaptive scheme, namely if we somehow propagate all byproduct operator. That is why logical depth is fixed. On the other hand, if we consider the matrix product or the tensor network model by Gross and Zeiser, and in particular, they consider somehow modified AKLP chain with Hadamard operator in the one matrix element, then byproduct operators must be canceled at every logical step by random walk technique. That is why also they have logical depth, which is fluctuating. And the second somehow feature is now the gapped grand subspace, the time-dependent logical encoding in some sense. And importantly, they are only connected by non-local storing operator. And if I consider cluster set, it is not clear for me whether cluster set is compatible with non-local order or not. And the, in the same manner, the, if I consider modified AKLP chain with Hadamard operator, then also it is not clear for me whether this resource has a string operator or some counterpart of that. Let me just, I have one slide and the, probably nobody cares experiments here, but the just number. Okay, so the now the experiment working hard to basically to implement quantum simulator. This is somehow the very medium term project for them. And the, of course, the 1D AKLT chain is the one of the good targets to them, because as I said, this is really connected with the fundamental theorem in condensed matter physics. And the, basically, we propose the two schemes using neutral atoms or the polar molecules. And in both cases, we actually the, we can somehow take the existing somehow proposal to implement 1D AKLT spin chain. And basically the spin, one particles are now the prepared using the hyperfine sublevel of electronic ground state of alkali atoms or polar molecules. And the important thing is just this number. So the basically the, if we consider neutral atoms, we have very elaborated good techniques. And in a couple of years, experiment will maybe succeed to somehow simulate such model. And the somehow our model is on the somehow on the extension of such implementation. And in such case, we expect gap can be the 200 hertz. And this is reasonably large compared to the dominant noise source in optical light. Namely, in such in this implementation, the dominant source would be fluctuation of magnet field, and this is order of 10 hertz. So we have reasonably decent gap. And the also the recently polar molecules are somehow new ideas. And for such case, we have more freedom in, because we have molecule. But the problem is we have to cool the molecule into the ground state of rotational and vibrational mode. And this is still somehow a challenge for experiment. And in such case, we have much, much bigger gap here. And this is pretty great. So this, so in summary, I introduced the, my scheme. And the, in the beginning, I listed the key requirements to implement ground code measurement-based quantum computation. And the, hopefully you would see how I somehow make these required conditions satisfied in my construction. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Mazen. Any questions?
So I'm a bit confused about exactly what's going on. So you have your two-fold degenerate ground state manifold.
Right.
And your logical qubit is encoded in the two degenerate quantum states in that manifold.
Right.
So every time you do a measurement, you're effectively doing a rotation
right.
within that subspace, right?
Right. But okay. I switch off and the map to the new somehow
okay.
time-dependent logical subspace.
Right. But what troubles me is that if you're in a degenerate subspace, then it seems like there's no energy cost to sort of randomly mixing between the two states.
Right.
So how is the scheme robust against?
This is exactly the point. This is somehow the important to have non-local order. So the, of course, I mean, two-fold ground state are energetically degenerate. So there's no energy cost, but they are only connected by multi-local operators. So this environment try to somehow implement this, right? It's very hard because we have to flip all stuff.
Right, except that when you're making measurements, that's exactly what you're doing, right?
Yes, exactly.
And
yes.
you're asking it to rotate, but then isn't the environment effectively making measurements? And so
yes, so that is somehow, yes, it's very good point. So that is somehow we switch off one qubit to be measured, and we have to measure before environment will measure. So we have reasonable time scale.
Okay, well, that's my next question. I don't want to dumb it, but I think, so you have this gap, which kind of tells you about the time scale.
Right.
But then if you're removing the interaction, then that's changing.
No, gap is the constant, independent of system size, namely the length of chain.
As long as the Hamiltonian is operating.
Oh.
But if you're lowering the, if you're turning off the interactions, then is that still true? Because the Hamiltonian is predicated on the existence of the interactions.
I mean, I'm mapping to the rest Hamiltonian, and the rest Hamiltonian is still on. Is this answer to your question?
So you're only turning off the local interaction, not all of them?
Yeah. I just switch off one.
Can I just have one more quick one? So if you turn on your interchain coupling, you want to do it fast, right? You have to turn on this sort of ZZ interaction between two chains to do your two qubit gate?
This is the weird dynamical coupling,
right?
And the it takes time. So basically, we need some certain time.
But the time scale is not set by the gap, right? Set by something else?
This is basically the same time scale as gap.
So as you proceed towards the end of your computation,
right
the string order parameter becomes smaller.
Right, correct.
So you kind of after doing everything, your qubit might just
yes. So our protection is getting weaker. Right? So either you use if you just somehow keep your information, we can keep some certain length.
Right.
And if we really like to read it out, the merit is teleportation can be simultaneously implemented because there is no independence. So we have certain length. And if we really like to somehow store information into the end qubit, you can measure at the same time all things. Then it can be faster.
One last question?
Yeah, okay, it's a practical question. So what's a kilohertz in Kelvin?
In Kelvin?
Yeah.
Wow, you are like a professor, right? I've told that it's pretty up in the last
moment. In Celsius.
I'm asking this question because I think in optical lattices you can go down to about 30 nanokelvin. And the question obviously is how that compares to your gap.
Well, maybe you can translate your Kelvin into.
I think with the polar molecules you can go 100 times what you could do with atoms.
Yes. So basically, you can translate your Kelvin yes. into this order. This is some reasonable noise order in optical lattice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's have some coffee. Thank you.
So next time.
Sorry, you don't have coffee.
You can still go have a coffee, don't worry. I can check myself.
Yeah, thank you.